Hello, everybody, and welcome back officially to the Love Your Truth podcast. We took a little bit of a detour for the last year or so, but after a little bit of soul searching and a little bit of personal reflection, I realized that the Love Your Truth podcast is really what I am meant to share. However, we're coming back with a little bit of an upgrade. And I'm really excited to announce and share that moving forward, the Love Your Truth podcast is going to be co-hosted by none other than my husband, Matthew.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Love Your Truth podcast.
Thank you. I know. I'm so excited to be doing this and sharing this space with you. It's super exciting to just kind of bring so many of the conversations that we have on our walks and in our life to people that are interested, to your community, and to just kind of share a little bit about us and our journeys. Excited.
Yeah, and you know, part of the thought process for me going through this and what I've been moving through for the last few years is really around the dance between the masculine and the feminine, and being someone who does so much work in the feminine, and I really operate in my feminine, and I primarily serve women. And over the last few years, we've hosted retreats together. You've supported me in the programs that I run. And the feedback has always been so overwhelmingly positive about how powerful it is and how healing it is to have you anchor in the masculine. And it's opened up my eyes so much to, within myself, the importance of actually, like, not always relying so much on myself to do everything, to figure everything out, to get everything done, and to really allow partnership to bring the balance of that masculine and feminine. And it just made sense to me that, you know, we do all of this work together through the retreats and the programs and, you know, the private healing ceremonies that we hold. It made sense that the next evolution for us would be to bring that to this podcast, into this space, and to really move forward fully in that balance and in that dance of highlighting and showing what masculine and feminine actually look like, what it feels like, what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And, you know, it hasn't always been that way for us, which I think is what makes us so attuned to how, you know, the benefits and what it's like without it and what it's like with it, with that balance and with that harmony, being in partnership together.
So actually, that might be a really good place for us to kind of start this journey with everybody, is maybe sharing a little bit about our story. You've been on the podcast now two times before, and I think the first time we just talked about your story, and perhaps there's maybe a little bit of like us sprinkled in there, and I know the second time we were talking about something totally different, but maybe I think that's a good place for us to just kind of take people back and just share a little bit of how, like, what we're doing now and what we did to get to where we are. Because, you know, this was one of the questions actually that was asked when we made this announcement on Instagram that we were going to be partnering up and co-hosting the podcast together, and asking and looking for topics of what people wanted to hear about. And one of the things was the work that was done ahead of time to get into conscious partnership, which is what I think you and I are really, really fighting for. I don't know if fighting is the right word, but I think it's something
striving for,
right? Yeah. Like we are far from perfect, but I think that we're both really doing the work, like, quote unquote, the work, And I think it's important to kind of pull back the curtains a little bit about what does that even mean? What does that look like? And how did we get here today? Where are we today? Like, right? Where do we?
Right. I think, you know, the common misconception around partnership or divine union or conscious relationships, whatever you want to call it, is that it's great from the start. You know, it's just good. It feels great. Everything's easy, which couldn't be further from the truth, actually. I think in, you know, getting to where we're at now was obviously looking back from it in this perspective, it's been the most rewarding thing of my life. And in the beginning, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. It was so challenging. It pushed me to my edges. And so I think that, you know, how do, you know, if somebody's preparing for it, prepared to be like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, almost like a complete destruction of everything you thought it was going to be.
Is there something in particular or any aspect of the relationship that like stands out to you in terms of like really pushing, really stretching, like putting you in those places of like almost like the ego death that has to happen?
Yeah, right. And that's exactly what it is, right? The ego is so quick to be defensive and to be right and to want it to just be like, want to the status quo to just be okay, right? And in divine partnership and conscious unions, our partner gets to see us, you know, I don't know how to say this the best way, so I'm going to try to articulate as it's coming out, but like you got to see me as my highest self, mm-hmm. right? And you saw my potential and you saw my capabilities of what was possible. And I was like, no, just let me be okay right here, right? Just let me stay here. It's fine. I'm okay. I'm doing enough, right? And then to have to let that guard down and actually let my ego, push my ego a little bit to the side and really allow in this constructive feedback, right? This constructive criticism, this push to jump, this push to grow that was coming from a place of love and concern, right? That, you know, that you're not really prepared for because, you know, the ego wants you to be great already. It wants you to be okay. And to really allow somebody else to see you and call you out on your things that ultimately we don't want to change, but in that process of changing those things, we grow, we evolve, we get better, we understand more. Which helps the individual and the relationship at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, an important conversation around this too that was quite the challenge for you and I. And I don't think that we're alone in this, but right, like you're saying that piece, there was a dynamic that was at play for quite a bit of the beginning of our relationship, which was the me kind of being in relationship with your potential rather than how you were actually showing up all of the time. And there is, there are a lot of opinions, I think, in our culture about people being in relationship with potential. However, there is an aspect, like you're saying, right, that it's critical, I think, not just in partnership, like not just romantic partnership, but in all partnerships, right? You and I both work intimately with individuals on a healing journey. And if we can't see them in their highest light, then I don't think we have any business doing what we're doing. However, that was really challenging, right, to be in that place. And I think that It's how do we find that right relationship with seeing our partners, for meeting them where they're at, seeing their potential, and asking them to step up, asking them to come along. And, you know, I know for myself, It was really hard because there was so much judgment being cast on me and on us, and you know, like everyone has an opinion, right? And very few people have an opinion that is rooted in compassion and grace and love and tolerance. And you know, for people who are in that place where they're maybe in a relationship, they're in a dynamic, like they see what is possible, but maybe it's not quite to fruition yet. Like, what are your thoughts on how to keep moving through that, or what needs to happen, or what do you need to see? Or
yeah, I think, you know, for me, a couple things, right? It's up to each individual to decide when enough is enough, right? Like, no one gets to choose that for anyone else. You know, and the other aspect of that is, right, for me, there was like a deep connection and a deep knowing of like, you were my person, right? I wasn't the person that I was supposed to be, but you were, right? You were the person for me. And so I kept coming back to that connection point. And the reference that I use so often is like, the relationship that we wanted was on one side of the eye of this eye of a needle, right? But we were both on the other side of it. And so we had to get to the relationship we wanted, we had to pass through this eye of the needle that was going to shave off everything that wasn't real, everything that wasn't true, everything that wasn't meant to be part of our relationship and this divine union. And I think a lot of times, right, going through that eye of the needle is extremely hard, extremely challenging. It's extremely confrontational to look at yourself and to have to, right? And the other part I want to acknowledge too is that it's not just whatever Jen says is correct and I need to do.
Right? I mean,
right? That's not what I'm talking about either, but it's allowing, okay, this person loves me. Right? As hard as it is for me to hear what she's saying right now, because it's going against my comfort level, right? She's seeing me in a really place, but is calling me out on it. So my ego wants to defend and push back and say, no, it is. I'm doing enough. It's fine. You need to change your perspective, right? And set that aside and really run it through the filter of how true is what she's saying. Is this true for me, or is this just true for her, right? And if the answer is, this is true for me too, okay, fuck, you know, there's some work I need to do, you know, which is really hard, you know, it's somebody that loves you that's pointing out your blind spots, not just seeing your potential, but like really seeing you, where you're at, and how what needs to be shifted or what needs to be done, right? And allowing, you know, each other to do that for each other requires a certain, right, which we learned over time was like a certain way of communicating with each other, right? What developed over time, which started out as like most couples, right? Like raging arguments and raising voices and storming out, right? And shutting down. Right, turned into over time, like really calm conversations, right? Really opening, like once we could move past our defense mechanisms and our need to be right, our need to be validated, all of those things, right? We reached a point of openness that created the space for us to really communicate what we were seeing in each other, what we were wanting from each other, and how to go about that, you know. And I think that transition, people cut it short all the time, right? Or they don't allow themselves to circle back. You know, a lot of men, what we do is shut down, leave, right? And don't come back, right?
Avoid.
Yeah. We just avoid and just hope that it's going to blow over, just, you know, enough time will pass and everything will be cool. Which is true, but then a month later, we're back in the same situation, right? And so, you know, there is a process of taking space, but always coming back to work on the relationship, right? There was, you know, there's my needs, there's your needs, and there's the relationship's needs, right? And we need to both consciously be working around all three, right? Making sure that all three are being taken care of in a very equal, balanced way. What was it like for you, right? Like, what were some of the, like, hard things that were really triggering for you that caused you to show up differently then that now you show up differently? Like, talk about that process within you and within the feminine.
Yeah, so for me, my experience, as you know, I am a very, very independent person. And it,
only child syndrome.
classic. And I own it. I fully recognize, like, I am an only child in every sense of the word. And there are aspects of my independence that have served me so beautifully in my life. And like any good defense mechanism, that, you know, I always use the analogy of defense mechanisms as like your favorite pair of running shoes, that you know, you get this pair of running shoes and you first put them on it and it's like you are running on a cloud and it feels amazing and you're just thriving, because I'm such a runner, I know about this. But after time, what happens? Those shoes that once felt like clouds on your feet, they kind of wear out a little bit. And before you know it, they're giving you blisters. They're, you know, you're feeling the impact of every single stride that you take. You have knee problems. And that's kind of like what our defense mechanisms are like, right? They work until they stop working. And for me, this fierce independence that I have has been a little bit of a crutch for me in my life, in the way that, again, it's created so much. I am so proud of the things that I have built in my life, and at a certain point, it started getting in the way, and particularly in partnership, because it can show up as being very controlling, and I have a lot of ideas of how things need to be done, and resentments because I do everything, but I also don't give room for other people to do anything because I do it better than everybody. And so that, for me, my journey of coming into relationship with you has been softening that edge that my independence, like, gives me. An edge being a little bit of an advantage edge, but also, like, edgy. Like, you know, there's kind of some, like, sharp corners there. And it can be a little bit prickly sometimes because of it. And so learning how to soften, learning how to surrender. For me, I've always, in that independent role, like we started out, right? And we all have the masculine and feminine inside of us. But for me, it was like the masculine inside of me was really in a very unhealthy balance for me. It was so out of balance and it was so ego driven. And so now here I am in partnership with you and being asked to soften into my feminine, which means healing my relationship with the masculine, which means like letting go of a little bit. And I think that's probably been biggest growing pain for me in this journey.
Yeah, you know, and it's the other part which I kind of want to, this is leading right into, is, right, the softening doesn't happen overnight, right? I didn't wake up the next day and was just living in my highest potential, right? And so when you would get prickly in the beginning, that's what I would shut down, I would leave, I would, you know, take space, whatever, right? And over time, right, what we learned about continuing to come back and circle back and have these calmer conversations and still, like, come back to this place of we love each other, and is noticing that she was working on it. right? I saw, right? Okay, she's not perfect, nor am I, but I could see that she was really like trying to soften and really working on the prickly and the edge that she had carried, you know. So when it did come up, my reaction wasn't the same because I knew she's working on it. So it created some space within me to allow this process to happen for her. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think like I felt that on my end from you as well, right? We would have the conversations and we're able to trust that, okay, they're going to work on this, right? And so there was some space for us to, you know, not make mistakes, but like have the thing happen, you know, and then correct it right away, or even maybe not even right away all the time, but correct it, right? Acknowledge the behavior, acknowledge the whatever was happening, and be before the other person had to, right? Like I caught myself. So you don't have to say it again, right? Like you're not repeating yourself over and over. I'm aware of what the behavior was. And I think we both did a really good job at that, which still, there is still that space today for us to grow and evolve without it being, you know, end of the world, end of relationship, all of those things that a lot of couples go through, you know, when they're repeating cycles and repeating behavior patterns. Do you want to speak more to that on your end? Or
what I think is important, actually, kind of just circling back to the original question that we were asked of, like, how does one prepare to be in a conscious partnership? And I think what you're speaking to right now is exactly it. It's the commitment that we make as individuals to be conscious within ourselves. And when we, you know, and then you find, you know, others, partners who are walking a similar path. And there's an agreement there. There's an understanding that, yeah, we are both perfectly imperfect. And as imperfect humans, we are going to, you know, I always talk about the passengers on the bus, right? Those aspects of ourselves that are a part of who we are, they're not going anywhere. And they're going to continue to show up in our relationship. But ideally, I'm doing enough work that most of the time those parts of me, like the prickly part, is not the part that's in the driver's seat all of the time, right? She's still, you know, she jumps up there every once in a while for sure, but like you're saying, there's that understanding, there's a deep awareness and safety, I think, that's felt between us, because there's a knowing that you are equally committed to your growth as I am to mine. And because of that, our relationship gets to grow.
Yeah. When I'm, a lot of the cup work that I do with couples is around those three staples, because that's what I know to have been so beneficial in our journey, right? There's safety, communication, and intimacy, right? Intimacy, not just in the physical form, but intimacy and standing in my weakness, allowing my partner to see me and communicate, fuck, I'm having a bad day, and I don't know why. I just woke up on this, you know, I'm having a shit day, give me some space, right? It's not you,
yeah.
Right? There's like a communication that creates safety. So even when I'm prickly or you're prickly or, you know, somebody's a little off, there's communication and it's okay. There's safety there. It's, you're allowed to be that way, right? It's not, I'm not taking it personal, you're not taking it personal. Which, you know, allows that safety to really emerge, safe to communicate, safe to, yeah, you know, be vulnerable, safe to speak our truth.
And I have to say, along those lines of the communication, I think one thing that you and I do really well, and I have to give us credit for this, is we are very mindful of each other's spaces before we bombard with anything. You probably more so than me, because I think just naturally I have more to say. But I think we're really respectful of, most of the time, if I have something that I need to share with you or something to talk about, what do I always say?
Are you available?
Are you available? And
Yeah.
there's that, it's like a 10-second check-in. And in that moment, you have an opportunity to make a conscious choice rather than, I think what happens so often is that we can just like come in and I start unloading. And you're not available, and then you don't respond in the way that I want, or you have a reaction because of where whatever state you're in, and now all of a sudden, there's conflict and there's challenge. But if I come to you and I'm like, hey, I need to talk about this thing. Are you available for me to tell you about blah 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 blah? And you can either, sometimes like, yeah, what's up? Or you're like, you know what? Give me five
Yeah, give me
minutes.
15 minutes, let me finish
Yeah.
this, let me go do habe, whatever, right? And then I'll come back. And it does, like, it gives me that space to finish, to complete a thought, a bit, whatever I'm doing,
Even
because
if
I
you're just
know,
scrolling.
yeah, right? Because I know she's asking me to be present. That's what she's really asking. Are you available to listen? And so if I'm not, the answer is no. And when the answer is no, I wait until it's a yes, and then I'll find you. I'll be like, okay, I'm ready. What do, you were going to share about blah, blah, blah.
And like on my end, there like the personal work for me is I have to be okay with those moments where you say no. And I think again, here we go, we're back to that. Like, what is the dynamic? What does it mean to be in conscious relationship? It means when you say no, I don't take it personally. I don't get frustrated. I don't get angry. I don't, there's no disappointment attached to it. It's a like I have to do my work to self-soothe and be like, okay, he'll find me when he's ready.
Right, which creates more trust because maybe you don't know, but you know now that I will come back
Yeah,
and that I
totally.
will be there. And when I do show up for that, I'm very present, ready to listen. Which again, right, safety, communication, intimacy, right? They are all working together to create more of each other. Right? More communication creates more safety. More safety creates more intimacy. More intimacy creates better communication. More safety. So they're all feeding off of each other to really help drive this conscious relationship further and further into unfolding into what it is, you know?
Yeah. And one thing, another, I guess I actually have a question for you, because we're using conscious relationship, and you also use the term divine union and divine partnership. Are those the same thing for you, or do you have, or is there something like, what do those mean for you?
I think I can be in conscious relationship with my friends,
Totally.
right? I could be in conscious relationship with my daughter, with our kids. But I think a divine union is a little different, right? I think a divine union is something that really stretches us. A divine union, it really calls forth the best that you have, the best version of yourself. In a way that, like we've been talking about, is extremely challenging, right? To face every limitation, face every lack, face every fear, face every, doubt, insecurity. I don't know what the another one I'm looking for is, but right, to face my smallness, right? The divine union really calls forth the best that you have, the highest version of yourself, and vice versa, right? Both of us are going through this process of evolving and growing and looking and, blind spots and working, revisiting all of these things. And, that's not always happening inside of a conscious relationship. I mean, it could, but I think that's the difference.
Yeah, well, and I think that that actually kind of leads into another aspect of our relationship that is so, so important and so central to the partnership. And also something that is going to be talked about a lot here on the podcast, which is our the centrality of spirituality in our partnership and in our union. You and I are both walking a medicine path, and we're both in deeply devoted relationships with the divine, with spirit, with source. And I think that it's, you know, that too is so, we would be remiss to not be speaking about the role that our faith has in our partnership and who we are and the way that we relate to each other today. And it wasn't always that way.
It's such a huge part of our lives now. And I think it's interesting because you were talking about the devotion when we both have our devotion in our own unique ways, right? Like my spiritual practices are done by myself. You know, we sit in circles and we do have certain practices, but your spiritual practices are done by yourself, right? There's not a lot of, oh, let's sit next to each other and meditate, right? And like, well, let's hold hands and breathe. We each have our own, not that those are terrible things to be doing, but right, there's, we each have our own path and our own unique calling and our own unique ways that we connect with the divine, that we show our devotion, which is really beautiful, I think, right? And sometimes they do interweave, and which is even more amazing, but the fact that we both have those on our own as something we can anchor into is as individuals is really important in when we do come back to being in relationship and working together.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I probably have a little bit actually different perspective on it because I actually think that our relationship to spirituality, while like, yeah, of course we have our own like practices and daily, but for me, it is the foundation of what ties us together, of what supported us in making it to where we are today. And I think that I know that like we're walking this path together. And I think, you know, I don't feel alone on my path of discovery and learning around what I believe and what I'm experiencing in my relationship to the divine. And it's been, you know, we say this all the time, especially in our medicine work. Like, I couldn't imagine being in a relationship where my partner wasn't walking that same path with me. And it feels... it's interesting because I also like I totally get what you're like it makes so much sense what you're saying, right?
Yeah. And it's, you know, I feel like we both had our spiritual awakenings inside of this relationship, you know,
for
so
sure.
there is that to be said as well. You know, and without the, you know, the medicine has shown us so much about each other in our relationship. You know, I could go really woo-woo about, you know, what the medicine has shown me in regards to this, right? That eye of the needle kind of teaching was shown to me on medicine, right? On how what is happening? Why are we going through these hardships? Why are we going through these challenges in the very beginning? You know, I'm asking the medicine, and this is what they're showing me. You know, it's showing me that, you know, like allow this growth to happen and your life will be amazing. You will get exponentially more peaceful, inner peace, happiness, joy, all of these things. And it's going to be fucking hard, you know? So without like that kind of reinforcement, guiding and feeling that support from God, from the divine, from different spirits, energies, angels, and medicines, I don't know if we would have.
I don't think we would be.
Yeah.
I don't know that we would be here together if it were not for divine intervention.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just, you know, divine intervention was needed for me as an individual as well, right? And not, it is the thing that Right? It's that interesting adage, right? Taking care of yourself makes the all of your relationships better, right? And so, yes, the medicine, it saved our relationship through healing, helping us heal individually.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to kind of acknowledge one of the things that you said just now, because you're like, I could get pretty woo-woo, you know, going there. And I think as we come back to this podcast, and this is really like an introductory podcast for what's to come, I think it's important to acknowledge that that is a very real part of both of who both of us are. And for myself, I can speak to this and acknowledge that it's an aspect of myself that I have not fully, like, fully allowed to be seen outside of our circles, outside of the spaces where I know people share similar beliefs or have an open mind to some of the really divine experiences that you and I have had together. And like this next iteration of us, of the work that you and I are doing together in the world, the podcast being a platform that we're going to use to share the work that we're doing, like the truth is we're going to bring that part of ourselves into this, these conversations, because it's such a huge part of our lives.
Yeah. And I tend to not have a filter around
<I know. laughs>
talking about spirituality. So I really am open and looking forward to sharing more about that, because it is important. It's a huge part of our lives. It's a huge part of what, who I am and why I am the way I am today. I really look forward to deepening and really sharing more about that as well.
Yeah, same. I'm really looking forward to all of the conversations that we're going to have as we allow this process and our work together to continue to evolve. And as we kind of wind down this first welcome back reintroduction episode, is there, like, what other thoughts, what final thoughts, what do you think people need to know about being in a conscious relationship or being in a divine partnership with someone?
That it's twofold, that it's one of the most challenging relationships we'll ever be in. And the depth of our struggle determines the height of our success. And so it leads to the most rewarding, authentic, genuine, loving, safe, amazing space that you'll ever find.
I think, you know, I think that can be said for most things in life. And there's also an aspect of it that, like, I notice in myself that I kind of am like, oh, I don't necessarily want that to be true, because I don't want to believe that things have to be hard in order to be good. And I remember actually one of our mutual friends back in the day when you and I first started dating, and it was a total just shit show in the very beginning. And she said to me, she's like, Jen, she's like, if it's light, it's right. And we were so not light. Like, it was like the opposite of light. But she said it to me, and I hear that. And, like, I acknowledge, yeah. And they're like that part of me that, like, yeah, like, I want aspects of life to be light. And there is a very real truth about our relationship that is, you know, just thinking back even to our wedding, which I know I'm biased, but I think was one of the most beautiful experiences and beautiful ceremonial exchanges I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because of the hell that you and I have walked through together. And so I think, you know, that like reconciliation is challenging for me.
Yeah. And I think, right, we started at a certain place in our lives, right? And so people can be more healed than we were going into a divine union or into a conscious partnership, right? However, that being said, even if you've healed it, it's going to show up again in your relationship, in a conscious partnership, in a divine yeah. union. It's going to circle back. All of your traumas, all of your the ways that you do things, right? They're going to rub up against your partner.
Oh, yeah.
And the response to that is challenging.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, you're going to be triggered. You're going to have to face all aspects of yourself, even the parts that might have been healed in the your last relationship or that you've dealt with on your own, right? When you're in a new partnership, you revisit them with your partner, right? And there's a new way of navigating, which, you know, one is challenging, but it's also, if you've already dealt with it, you get to understand it even more. Right, there's a deeper level that you get to go to in understanding yourself in this healing process so that you can be in this relationship with your partner.
Yeah.
I joke all of the time and because it's really fucking hard. But, you know, when someone triggers me or I trigger someone, then my response is thank you mm-hmm. or you're welcome. Right. Which is like a bit extreme, I know, but like that's where our work is. When we are triggered, that is showing us where we're giving our power away, where our work is, where we need the healing.
Yeah. Relationships are great places to work out those triggers.
For that, because you're with each other. You're in this space that, you know, thankfully with our spiritual practices, I consider like a divine space, right? Of a sacred space that this relationship is, that allows for this healing to take place. That's the challenging part, right? And that's why it's really rewarding, you know, because it does bring up all of your impatience, right? All of your desire to be right, your desire to be heard, which aren't bad things. Right. But there are things that come up in relationship that you have the opportunity to understand more about yourself in that process, how to soften, how to stand taller, speak up, right? Heal yourself, allow your partner to help heal parts of you. Right. And there's so much exchange happening energetically, verbally, emotionally, mentally, that is challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, you know, that's such an important kind of piggybacking on that acknowledgement of what it means to be in conscious partnership and conscious relationship with someone is that it doesn't mean, like you're saying, that like I figured it all out. Like I'm good. I'm so evolved. I'm so enlightened. And now we're just in this like divine bliss of like perfection and love. And, you know, that's very bypassy. And I think also there can be an aspect of it too for some people that can be very superficial or pretentious or like, you know, putting on a mask of perfection of like, look at, you know, we have the Instagram perfect life and it's so, you know, so beautiful and it's just so perfect and we don't ever talk about conflicts or anything like that. And that is so far from what I think conscious partnership really is. It's, you know, we are awake and committed enough to each other, to ourselves and to each other, to be able to have those really hard conversations that uplift and propel and move forward the relationship and ourselves as individuals.
Yeah, and the hard conversations are called hard conversations for a reason, because they're fucking hard, right? And so yeah, I think that, but the reward is magic. The reward is bliss. And, you know, you circle through these hard conversations with the understanding that, okay, this is going to be hard in this moment, right? Why is it hard? Because my defense mechanisms are going to show up, because my ego is going to be present, because I don't want to hear the truth, because I'm going to have to really look at myself. And even if I look at myself and I decide, okay, that's not true for me, right? That's still challenging, right? The challenge still is present, which is why it's called a hard conversation, right? But the goal of hard conversations isn't to punish, isn't to shame or create friction. The purpose of it is, like you said, for growth, for evolution, for an unfolding towards the bliss, right? So we can get back to being in the state of bliss, back to being in this heightened state of love and connection. And that makes the hard really worth it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And I think on that note, that's probably a really good place for us to wrap up for today. And I am so excited for what's to come. We are going to be bringing you conscious conversations around all things wellness, personal development, plant medicine, relationships. Anything else that I'm missing in that one?
Yeah, masculine, feminine energies, integration, right? What do certain things look like? There's so much verbiage being thrown around in these personal development spaces, right? And what we want to dive into, what do they mean? What does it look like to integrate? What is it?
Grounded spirituality is what you call it.
Yeah, grounded spirituality. How do we bring spirituality into our lives and anchor it so that it's making a difference, that it's the change is sustainable, that it's digestible, more easily and readily available and understood for everyone.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Ouch, ouch.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening in today. And we will look forward to seeing you in the next episode.